40 years was now over. They come to the Jordan River, and God split the Jordan River, and they walked over on dry ground. And you know that the Jordan River separated the wilderness from the promised land. It separated the manna and the water, the fare that they had in the wilderness, from the milk and honey and the grapes of Eshcol and all the other things that grew in the promised land. And just like God had done 40 years before when he had split the Red Sea to get them out of Egypt, he split the Jordan River. And he made a dry path through the river for the people to cross over into the promised land. God told Joshua, he said, now when you cross over and that river is dried up, that path is dried up, I want you to pick up 12 stones. And I want you to take them to the place that you camp the first night in the promised land. And I want you to leave them there. I want you to set them up as a monument. And God's people obeyed him. They came to the city that we read about a moment ago, the city of Gilgal. And that's where they spent the first night in the land of promise. And Joshua pitched those 12 stones in that place. And he told the people, he said, now in the future, your children and your grandchildren, your descendants are going to see these stones. And they're going to ask the question, what mean these stones? And when they ask, I want you to tell them that when we crossed over into this land, we crossed the river on dry land, just like we did the Red Sea, because the Lord dried up a path for us. And I want you to tell them that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Forever. And I would point out to you this morning that those stones were pitched not just for future Jews. The Bible says that they were pitched for all the people of the earth. We fall into that category this morning. We're included in that description, all the people of the earth. And so they were pitched for us so that we might know, not suppose, not think, not hope, but that we might know that the hand of our God is mighty. And because it's mighty, we will fear him. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That we will fear him forever. And the stones are still there today. They still speak today. And as we ask the question, what mean these stones? A sevenfold answer comes back. Number one, when we ask the question, what mean these stones? The answer comes back that God answers prayer. The people of God were in slavery in Egypt. They had toiled for Pharaoh and they built his cities and his palaces. It was hard labor. It was a life that had no hope for the future. And they grew weary of it. And they began to pray. And they began to bombard heaven. And they began to ask God for a deliverer. Out in the desert, there was an 80-year-old man watching his father-in-law's sheep. And God struck a bush and set it on fire, and that bush burned, but it was not consumed. And this 80-year-old man named Moses went to check it out, and out of that bush, God spoke, and he said, Moses, I have heard their cry, and I am come down to deliver them. And the stones remind us that we have a God that answers prayer. He did then, he does now. He still sits on the throne of heaven. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. His hand is not short that he cannot save. The people of God couldn't get themselves out of Egypt. They could not work their way out. They could not pay their way out, but they could pray. And there was a God in heaven that heard, and a God in heaven that said, I am come down to deliver them. And that same God says to us today, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. What mean these stones? They mean, number one, that there is a God in heaven that answers prayer. It means, number two, that there is a God that saves by the blood. A God that saves by the blood. The people were slaves for 400 years. Moses came with God's message and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." The Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God sent plagues into the land of Egypt. And every one of those plagues attacked one of the Egyptian gods. I mean, they worshiped the different things that God used to bring a plague upon the land of Egypt. And he was showing the Egyptians, your God cannot help you. The things that you worship have no power, and they cannot help you when you get into trouble. And then God says, he told Moses, he said, I'm going to send one more plague. And when I send this plague, Pharaoh is not only going to let you go, he is going to force you and drive you out of the land. And God told Moses, he said, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to kill it. I want you to take the blood and put it on the doorpost of your house. Because this last plague is a death angel that's going to come through the land of Egypt. And he's going to go into every house and he's going to kill the firstborn in every house. But when he comes to a house and he sees the blood on the doorpost of the house, that angel is going to pass over that house. And the life of the firstborn will be spared. That's exactly what happened. The death angel came to Egypt that night. He went into every home where there was no blood on the doorpost, and the firstborn in every one of those homes died. And Pharaoh got up in the middle of the night, and just like God had told Moses, he drove the Israelites out of Egypt. He drove them out because of this last plague that dealt with the blood of the Passover lamb. I want you to know this morning that God does not save us today because we take the Lord's Supper. God does not save us today because we get baptized. God does not save us today because we join the church. Our sins are taken away when we get in the blood of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb we commemorated this morning when we had his supper. The Passover lamb is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he went to Calvary, he shed his precious blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's how we get our sins forgiven. That's how we get right with God. That's how we get saved. We get into the blood of the Savior who shed it for each one of us. If you get saved, if you're saved this morning, you're not saved because of your heritage, because of your family. You're not saved because of what you have done, your works. You are saved by the blood of the crucified one. What mean these stones? There is a God that answers prayer. There is a God that saves by the blood. There is a God that makes a way. When Pharaoh drove them out of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. Mountains on either side. An angry Pharaoh and his army behind him who changed his mind and had come to recapture his slaves. They couldn't go forward because the Red Sea was there. They couldn't turn to either side because there were mountains on either side. They couldn't go backwards because the Egyptian army had come to kill and capture. There was no way to go. They looked to their right, they looked to the left, they looked forward, they looked backwards, and they could not figure out what to do. And so they went to Moses, and they said, Moses, what should we do? And Moses went to God. God said to Moses, you tell the people to stand still, and I will make a way. You know, God's people still get into situations today where we're surrounded. We can't go forward because there's obstacles and heartaches in front of us. And we can't go to either side because there's roadblocks there. And we can't turn around and go backwards because the things that are behind us are just as bad as the things that are in front of us. And we get into situations and we say the same thing that the Israelites said. We don't know what to do. There's no way to go. And the same God of the Israelites is our God today. And he comes with the same message. Stand still and I'll make a way. You see, that day at the Red Sea, it wasn't Moses' way. It wasn't Aaron's way. It wasn't Marion's way. It was God's way. And there are situations today where we can't see the way. Our parents and our grandparents can't help us. Our spouses can't help us. Our friends can't help us. They cannot make a way. But God can. He's still a God that can make a way. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. What mean these stones? God answers prayer. God saves by the blood. God makes a way. Number four, God defeats the enemy. The way he made was through the Red Sea. Waters heaped up like walls on either side. The ground dried in the middle. And God said to his people, go forward. The Egyptian army tried to follow. And when the last one of God's people were safely to the other side, God took his hands, his breath off that water. And every one of Pharaoh's soldiers was drowned. You can go back and read it in the book of Exodus. The people saw their corpses floating on the sea. The same God who defeated the Israelites' enemy that day at the Red Sea is our God today. And he can defeat our every enemy. Satan is no match for him. Wicked habits that have a hold of us are no match for him. Depression that sometimes overtakes us is no match for him. The forces of evil that are in this world are no match for him. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The battle that we fight is not ours. The battle that we fight is God's, and he will be victorious. What mean these stones? God answers prayer. God saves by the blood. God makes a way. God defeats the enemy. Number five, God supplies our needs. 40 years, a pillar of cloud to lead by day, a pillar of fire to lead by night, bread from heaven every morning, water from rocks whenever they needed it. When they got hungry for meat, it rained quail. Their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out. They grew as they did. Every need that God's people had was met by God. And God hasn't changed. Every need that his people, his children have today, he will meet. In the book of Philippians, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And a child of God today will never want for a need. He doesn't give us everything we want, but he gives us everything that we need. And it's according to his riches in glory. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for those that love him. And there's not a need that you have in your life today that our God cannot meet. What mean these stones? God answers prayer. God saves by the blood. God makes a way. God defeats the enemy. God supplies our needs. Number six, God keeps his promises. He promised Abraham, someday all this land that you see is going to belong to your descendants. He promised Isaac, one day your descendants are, this is going to be theirs. He made the same promise to Jacob. He said, this land that you see is going to be yours. Hundreds of years later, with many bumps and detours and potholes along the way, God's people crossed Jordan. They came into the land of promise. And God kept his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to the children of God. In this book, there are many hundreds, thousands of exceedingly great and precious promises. Some of them we can read and we can understand completely, and we know exactly what God is promising. Others, we can only understand a little bit. They're so big that we just can't get our human mind around what God has promises. But I want you to know this morning that we have a God. And it may not be an immediate meeting or keeping of a promise. Days may go by, months may go by, years may go by. There may be in our life, just like in the lives of the Israelites, some bumps and some detours and some potholes along the way. But I want you to know, that's what that verse says, so that we can know that the hand of our God is mighty. We have a God that will keep every one of the promises that are in this book. Every single one of them. What mean these stones? God answers prayer. He saves by the blood. He makes a way. He defeats the enemy. He supplies our needs. He keeps his promises. And number seven, he's just as good in death as he is in life. Moses was up on top of Mount Sinai, and he said to God, I want to see your face. I want to see your face. And God said, you can't, Moses. No man can see my face and live. I will do this for you. I'll put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and then I'll make my backsides to pass before you, and I'll take my hand away, and you can see a little bit of my back. And the Bible says that God did that. And when Moses saw the backside of the glory of God, it changed him. I mean, he came down from that mountain with a glow on his face that when the people saw it, they were afraid of him. And the Bible says when he talked to the people, he had to put a veil over his face because the people were afraid. Now Moses is at the end of his life. He's up on another mountain, Mount Nebo. He had disobeyed God, and God said, even though you've led my people these 40 years, I won't let you lead them into the promised land. I'll let you see it, but I won't let you go in. And Moses said, but Lord, I've led these people. I put up with them for 40 years. Please change your mind. Please let me go in. And God said, nope, nope. Can't let you go in, but I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to take down all the barriers, and I'm going to let you see my face. When I do that, you won't be able to stay here. You'll have to go with me. But I'll let you see all of my glory. And just like Moses turned his back on the pleasures of Egypt because he looked for a better country. Up on Mount Nemo, and again, the conversation's not recorded in the Bible, but your preacher thinks it went something like this. Lord, if you let me see your face, it doesn't matter that I don't get to go into the promised land. Because seeing your glory is more important than anything. And in death, God was just as good to Moses as he was all of his life. He'll do the same for us if we know Jesus as our Savior. There is a place, the Bible says, that every child of God can look forward to. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 14 when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that promise is to every single person that's received Jesus Christ. Got in that fountain filled with blood and let him wash all our sins away. And we have that to look forward to. And so to every Christian that's here this morning, our God is good in life. We talked about it in Sunday school. There's nothing like the Christian life. He'll be just as good in death. But if you're here this morning and you don't know him, you don't have that place to look forward to. Bible says there's only two places that we'll go after we die. One is heaven, a place prepared by God. And the other one is hell. Also a place prepared by God, but prepared by God for Satan and for all those that reject Jesus Christ. Why anyone would do that, I don't understand. Why anyone would reject what Jesus Christ did for them on Calvary, what we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning, I don't know. Because he died for you. His body was broken for you. He shed his blood for you. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you'll come to him and say, I'm a sinner, and I deserve to be punished because I am, but I believe that, Jesus, you died for me, and right now I receive you. I ask you to save me. And the Bible says if we ask him, he will. If you haven't done that, would you do that right now? Right now, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to become part of the family of God. You only do that through Jesus. Would you do it? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And I pray if there's just one person here that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, today would be the day. Now would be the time. Help them pray, Father, and help them to ask him. Ask Jesus to save them. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, remind us so that we know. We know down deep in our hearts, down deep in our soul, that you are a God that answers prayer, that you are a God that makes a way, that you are a God that defeats the enemies, that you are a God that supplies our needs. And your hand is mighty, mighty, mighty. Help us to know that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.